Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Verse Number 1.
Suta uvacha
iti
bitha prajadrothat sarva dharma vivitsayam tato vinashanam pragan yatra deva vratopatat. Suta uvacha iti bitha prajadrohat sarva dharma vivitsaya tato vinashanam pragad yatra deva vratopatat. Suta uvacha iti bitha prajadrohat sarva dharma vivitsaya tato vinashanam pragad yatra deva vratopatat.
Please chant.
Iti vitha prajadrohat
please. Ladies, please. Anyone else? Sutta Uvacha. Sri Sutta Goswami said, Iti, thus, Pitaha, being afraid of, Praja Drohat, because of killing the subjects, Sarva, all, Dharma, acts of religion, Vivitsaya, understanding, Tattaha, thereafter, Vinashanam, the place where the fight was held, Pragat, went, Yatra, where, Deva Vrtaha, Bhishma Deva, Avatat, Vrataha, Bhishma Deva, Apatat, lay down for passing away. Thank you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sutta Goswami said, being afraid for having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, this mortal world, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira went to the scene of the massacre. There Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows, about to pass away. Please repeat. Sutta Goswami said, being afraid for having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira went to the scene of the massacre. There, Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows, about to pass away. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this ninth chapter, as it is willed by Lord Sri Krishna, Bhishma Dev will impart instructions to King Yudhisthira on the subject of occupational duties. Bhishma Dev will also offer his last prayer to the Lord on the verge of passing away from this material world. And thus become liberated from the bondage of further material engagements. Bhishma Dev was endowed with the power of leaving his material body at will. And his lying down on the bed of arrows was his own choice. This passing away of the great warrior attracted the attention of all the contemporary elites, and all of them assembled there to show their feelings of love, respect, and affection for the great soul, Bhishma Dev. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmaritam yena tasmai shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So I want to thank everyone here for attending this morning's talk. It's always a pleasure and a privilege for me to share these teachings, for in doing so, I feel it helps me to gain spiritual qualities and spiritual virtues in such service. So without you sitting here, then I have no service. And if you all get up now and walk out, then I'll have to talk to the wall, which is not what I want. So thank you again. It's a pleasure and a privilege not to be taken lightly or granted or thoughtlessly. Devotees are very important. And if we try to serve them well, Krishna is pleased. And if Krishna is pleased, then not only is the devotee who's speaking well taken care of or blessed, but everyone all around, everywhere, who's listening or who's seeing this does too. Hare Krishna. So we have a very interesting situation at this moment. As we all know, the Yudhishthir is overwhelmed with the guilt of feeling responsibility or responsible for the over 600 million warriors lying dead on the battlefield. That's a lot of warriors, a lot of dead bodies out there. A lot of burials have to be made. So he's feeling the brunt of it. He's feeling the pinch of it. He feels that he was responsible because he gave the okay. Of course, this is his humility. He's not at all responsible. Krishna himself arranged for the whole thing and wanted it to happen because, as he himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend to this world to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. So the purpose here is that Krishna wanted to get rid of a lot of evil wood that was creating a lot of fire and a lot of heat and a lot of problems for many people, with particular emphasis on Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, and his 99 brothers. So the question may arise, as I read, that Bhishma Dev had the power to decide when he would die. In other words, he was invincible and he was immortal. He was under a blessing that no one could kill him without he wanting to be killed. That's a pretty big time blessing. It's what everybody wants. They want to live over and over and on and on. So he had that power to go on living. But what caused him to lie in a bed of arrows and slowly and surely go through the dying process? He's dying. Yudhishthir, as it says, wanders over there. He's also, his brothers are with him. And Bhishma Dev's head is hanging down. And it feels very uncomfortable to him. So he says, my head is hurting. So immediately, soldiers grab for pillows. And Bhishma shook his head. No, Arjun, I need a pillow. So Arjun took out a shaft, pulled it back, and shot it right into the ground so that Bhishma's head fell right onto the batch of feathers. He says, yes, this is the way a warrior must receive a pillow. So he was remarking how Arjun could just read his mind and know exactly what he wanted. So, again, the question comes, why is he dying? Why would he want to die? Since he can't die unless he wants to. He's under a blessing. So I'd like to tell a little about that story because it's very fascinating and it gives us a lot of insights into the Mahabharata itself and into Bhishma Dev in particular. It all starts up in one of the heavenly planets. And Bhishma Dev, in his previous lifetime, was one of the eight Vasus. A Vasu is a demigod of a sort. They can create dawn, they may create evening. They have different functions, just as Vayu creates wind, Indra creates rain. So the different eight Vasus, they have their functions as well. (Clears throat) So Bhishma Dev was one of the eight Vasus. And his name at that time was, anybody remember the name? You know who? Yeah? Pardon? I can't hear you. No, that was not, we're talking about when he was on the heavenly planet before. But yes, we will get to that, and that was his name in this, at this point in time. So his name was Dew, okay? Just as the parents of Krishna. And they were also one of the Vasus, Yashoda, and her husband. So they were up there. There were eight of them. And it just happened to be that Vasishta, the sage, was kind of out of station for that moment or that period of time. And Vasishta had a cow, a Surabhi cow, who could do many wonderful things. Like if you take the milk of the Surabhi cow, she keeps you youthful for a long time, keep you free of diseases, like that. So the eight Vasus got together and they said, well, she's a very beautiful cow. And then Dew's wife, she said, you know, I have a friend down on the earth, and she's getting very old looking, getting a lot of lines in her face. So why don't we get the cow for my friend, and we can take the milk, and she'll become youthful again. So they thought about it. They thought, well, why not? I mean, we can get another cow for Vasishta. He uses the cow to make milk, and from milk he makes butter, and from butter sacrifices are used. So that's what happened. So when Vasishta came back, he looked for the Surabhi cow. He's looking around, and there was no Surabhi cow. So he closed his eyes. He was a very advanced soul. He could know the future. He could know the past. And he could also know telepathically who had taken the cow or whether the cow had just wandered off. I doubt if that could happen because probably would tie her up. So he knew immediately the eight Vasus were involved. So immediately he told one of his servants, go call them all over. So they were brought over and they sat down, paid their obeisances. So he said, all of you have implicated yourself. You have conspired to steal my cow. Why don't you at least come to me, ask me for permission? But you just took it, you stole it. And for what purpose? Just so that some woman can look 5 years younger? He said, that's not a very good purpose. So he says, as a result of that, you know what's going to happen, don't you? So they start to get the shakes and the shivers. You're going to get punished because you know better. You're a demigod and you should not have done that. So I'm going to punish all of you. He punishes them with the curse that they will all go down to the earth planet. Since they acted like rascal human beings, they will become human beings and hopefully not rascals there, so that their position would go lower than what it was. So when they heard that, I mean, they hated the idea of leaving the heavenly planet. I mean, on the heavenly planets, you get all the pleasures, the nectar drinks, and you get all the creamy different types of foods. And it's just an endless succession of delights. So they began to pray to Vasishtha, no, please, please withdraw your curse. Let us stay here. We're sorry. We shouldn't have done it. We did a wrong thing. Please forgive us. So they went on like that for several minutes. So Vasishtha saw that at heart they were good persons, but they just had made a very bold, stupid mistake. He said, all right, I forgive you. And I will still curse you to go down to the earth planet, but you will stay there a very short time. And then you will come right back up again and have your fun. So everybody went. So then Vasishtha looked at Dew who would become Bhishma Dev in the next life. But not you, Dhyu, because it was your wife who hatched this plot, and you went along with it, and you got everybody involved in it. Therefore, you will stay much, much longer. So he's thinking, much, much longer? Yes. So it turned out that, of course, as we know later on, that Bhishma Dev, he lived on earth for about, this is approximation, 170 years. If you count the different 20-year increments. What do they call that? Generations, thank you. Yeah, so you count them all, you'll find out that it's somewhere around that. For example, in the Battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhisthira was 100 years old. Bhima was 99 years old. Arjuna was 98. And the twins, Nakula and Sahadev, they were 97. So, hardly to believe that they're acting like 25-year-old boys. And Bhishma Dev, absolutely amazing. I mean, around 170 years, and he's racing around the field, killing not a few hundred, but thousands of people. Remember, there's 600 million people there. And he was wiping them out. He had the kind of power that if he charged up an arrow, and he said to the arrow, kill 100 over there, the arrow would be, he'd discharge it, and it would shoot out and it would multiply into hundreds of arrows. And the arrow would have the intelligence of the shooter. So that was just one example. And so he was literally mopping up the field. So, Bhishma Dev, he was cursed to stay on earth for a much longer period of time. Now, we flash forward to the current time. I should mention, in this Battle of Kurukshetra, we are now on the 10th day of the battle, for those of you who may not know that. It is an 18-day battle. So, anyway, Bhishma Dev, he's lying there on the battlefield. So as we go back, in time, we find out that at some point, Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Dev's father's name was Shantanu. And Shantanu was married to Ganga Devi. And so they were married. And they had actually 8 children. The first child that they had, Ganga took in her arms and marched out from the palace, out to the Ganga. There's like a platform. We see them. Called the gazebo. And she went up on the gazebo, and behind her, Shantanu was walking and wondering, what is she doing with that baby? So she took the baby, raised it high in the air, and flung it into the Ganga, and it went flowing down, and of course it died. Well, Shantanu, he wanted to shout out and scream and stop her, but he had made a prenuptial agreement with her. Even they had prenups in those days. And the prenuptial agreement was he would never shout at her. He would never chastise her. And if he did, she would leave him. So he was very much in love with her and very much attached to her. They did not want to shout out. Anyway, that was the first baby. There were 6 more, and she did the same thing. Threw the baby into the river Ganga. So he was at his wit's end. He was ready to strangle her. Really, literally. So the 8th child was finally in her arms, and she was getting ready to, get to the gazebo and get the baby up in the air. And just as she was about to let it go, he said, "No! Don't do that, you murderess! How could you do this? How? Look at you! You're supposed to be Mother Ganga, who gives blessings, who gives goodness, who gives kindness and sweetness. But look at you, killing your own babies. You horrid, wretched woman. She said, you know the pre-mut-nup agreement that we have, don't you? He said, I don't care about that agreement. The faster you go, the better it will be. He says, how could you do such a thing? She's still holding the baby, by the way. She said, there's more to it than meets the eye. Perhaps I should tell you why I did it. He says, I don't care. You're a murderess. Get out of my eyesight. She said, no, I want you to know the story behind this. She said, when I was on the heavenly planet, you were there too, and so were your seven buddies, the Vathus. And you all surrounded me, and you asked me for a favor. You told me that you had been cursed by Vasishta to go down to the earth. And you asked me if I could please bear the babies that King Shantanu would give me. And after I gave birth to them, would I please kill you immediately? Because that was part of the deal, that they would stay on earth a very short time. But not you, not Bhishma Dev. So they all agreed, sure, we'll kill you if you want. I mean, you want to get back to the heavenly planet and have all the fun, all the joys, all the pleasures? Why not? So that's exactly what happened. It was all under agreement. It was not really a murder. It was arranged. She agreed. He agreed, and so forth. So when he heard this, he was rather amazed. She had never told him that. He had never known that. Anyway, the result was that she said, now I'm leaving you because you shouted at me, you chastised me, and our agreement was that you would never do that. And if you did, that's the end of our marriage. So she said, but this baby I will take with me, and I will take him up to the heavenly planet, and I will educate him in regular subjects, such as reading and writing and arithmetic and geography. I will have him educated by the head sage of the demigods. What is his name again? Brihaspati, thank you. So Brihaspati will educate him in theology, in philosophy. Sorry about that. And astrology, astronomy, all the subjects, and stagecraft, so that when I bring him back, he will be qualified to be the king of this country, Hastinapur. Whether he becomes the king or not is another matter, but he will be qualified. He will have all the abilities, all the capacities, all the knowledge that it takes to do that. Flash forward 15 years later, King Shantanu is walking along the shore of the, I believe it's the Ganga, and I'm not absolutely certain on that though, but I think it is. And what happens is that he sees the water, which is moving forward, suddenly halt and stop, like it's being dammed up. And he looks and walks forward and he sees there's a batch of arrows holding the water back. And he sees that there's a boy shooting arrows into the water, causing a dam to be created. So he walks over to the boy, who is very beautiful, very charming, has all good qualities and features. And as he moves toward him, the boy disappears. He says, what's going on? Where did he go? So several minutes later, the boy comes out of the water with a beautiful woman. Who else but Ganga Devi? Says, my wife, maybe she's going to return to me. No chance. Don't even harbor that idea. Anyway, she comes back and she said, I've raised your child. This is What did you say his name was? He said Devavrata. Yeah. So she says, this is your son. His name is Devavrata. And she told him all of his abilities, his qualities, what he could do. And she said, I'm leaving now. He's yours to assist in the running of this kingdom. So she left. She just disappeared. When Shantanu, King Shantanu, saw his son, I mean, imagine you've been separated from this baby for 15 years, and now he's in front of you, and you're looking at him, and he's beautiful, he's lovable to look at, and he's got such talent. I mean, after all, he dammed up the whole Ganga. He said, who taught you how to do this? He says, well, my warrior guru, Parashuram, he taught me how to do it. He said, really? He said, wow, this kid's really got a lot of good stuff when it comes to warrior ability, shooting arrows. Anyway, they went back to the palace. So, after a little while, King Shantanu, having been reminded of his wife Ganga Devi, started to feel some loneliness. So he went out for a walk. And in the course of his walk, there was a beautiful maiden there who rowed boats. She used to row people across the river for her father. Her father was a fisherman. So he began talking to her, and she was, her whole body was filled with perfume. You could even smell that perfume for a few miles away. It was a grace that she had received from Parasura Muni. And why did she get that grace? Well, she had been born in a fish body, and when she came out, her body had the odor of a fish. So no man wanted to go near her. No man would want to marry her. So anyway, they struck up a deal. She met Parasura Muni, and she asked, could you use your mystic powers to help me get rid of this terrible odor? And he said, yeah, no problem. Of course, she had to give something in return, which I won't get into. Anyway, the point is that she was very fragrant, had a very fragrant source, a scent, and the result of that was that as that it made her even more attractive. So he fell in love with her. He went to her father and said, I would like to marry your daughter. So he said, very nice, very nice. You're the king. I'm sure it would be a very good situation. He said, but there's one little problem. And he said, what is that? He said, well, you have a son. Your son is Bhishma Dev. And, of course, his name was Devavrata then. And he said, when you leave this world, the next king will be Devavrata. He's in line for it. He's already, he's your son. He said, that's right. He said, well, if you want to marry my daughter, then you will have to make the son of my daughter your next king. So Shantanu heard that. The first son his daughter, the next king, Bhishma Dev was the most qualified person in the whole world to run that kingdom. And Shantanu felt that if he allowed this to happen, then the kingdom would suffer as a result of having a weaker, inexperienced, incompetent ruler. So he refused. He had to think of the welfare or the well-being of the entire kingdom. He said, no, I can't do that. But he was still in love with her. And from that day on, he became more and more filled with loneliness. Excuse me. More filled with loneliness, sadness, sorrow. He was disconsolate, distressed. He was feeling despair. That was his mood, day in and day out, despair. And he would sit, he didn't even want to rule the kingdom anymore. So love fraught was he. All he kept thinking about was Satyavati. That was her name. So Devavrata, he saw his father. And his father was in this lamentable mood. And he felt great pity for his father. He felt sympathy, great affection for his father. So he said, "Father, what's the problem? What's bothering you?" He said, no, leave me alone." So Devavrata, being a very conscientious son, went to one of the assistants of the king and said, "What is wrong? Why is my father looking so sad, so sorrowful, so lamentable?" So the assistant told him exactly what the problem was, that he was pining away for that beautiful woman. And since he could not, he was what you call in a catch-22, where you can't go, where you go one way, you suffer, you go the other way, you suffer, you don't know what to do. So he's just betwixt and between. He can't marry her, he can't give up the kingdom, you know, he can't give to her forthcoming son, and he won't ignore, or he won't tell Devavrata, "You can't be the king." So he found out what the problem was. So he went to the fisherman who was the father of this Satyavati, and he said, "Look, my father, Shantanu wants to marry your daughter. And you said that the only holdup was that you wanted the son of your daughter to be the next king." He said, "No problem. I renounce my right to the throne. And you, your daughter's son will be the next king." He says, "Well, that's very wonderful. I appreciate that. Thank you very much." He said, "But there's one more problem." He said, "What is that?" He said, "You, if you get married and your wife has a son, she will lay claim to the throne because you had the right to the throne, but you gave it up. But that doesn't mean that your son, who's your heir, who is in line, if you had been the king, should not claim the king. So therefore, the kingdom will be in jeopardy as far as my daughter's son is concerned." So Bhishma Dev said, "All right. In other words, what you're asking me to do is never get married, never have any sexual intercourse, have no children, so that the son of your daughter will be the king without interruption, without any hassle, without any trouble, without any problems." He said, "Yes." So he said, "I swear here, I take this vow that I will never marry, and therefore the son of your daughter will be the next king." So at that time, the demigods, they all came down. They had heard this promise, this vow. And they all shouted. What did they shout? Bhishma, which means terrible vow. You have taken a terrible in the sense that it's mighty, it's incredible, it's amazing. Warriors generally don't take those kind of vows. They're fighters, they have families, etc. So anyway, he took the young woman, Satyavati, back to the palace, and his father was sitting on the throne in the usual half-sleep fashion. He's like this, and he says, "Father, I have a little gift for you." So he opened his eyes, and he saw Satyavati. There she was. He could smell the fragrance. It was all over the place. He says, well, why have you brought her here?" He says, "She's going to become your wife." He says, "How can she? I have refused to give the throne to her coming son. No, I..." And he told her told him what happened. "I resigned the throne, and also I plan to never get married." So father said, "How could you do this?" He said, "If
her son becomes the next king, the kingdom will be weakened and we can be overthrown. That was not a good, very good proposal. It was not a good promise. He said, but don't worry about it, Father. Yes, I have all that knowledge. I have all that ability. I have all that capacity. And I will train. I will teach her son to do everything that I can do so that he can run the kingdom in a very able way. And whatever he doesn't learn, whatever he can't do, I will support and help so that the kingdom will never be in jeopardy or in dire threat. Well, when the father heard that, he lightened up. His eyes opened up wide. And he said, my son, how could you do this? This is amazing. You've given up your life virtually so that I could have a young wife. He says, I am so beholden to you. I feel so obligated to you. I feel that your charity is beyond normal human comprehension. He said, I owe you. He said, no, Father, you don't owe me anything. You've given me so much already. You've given me your association. You've given me your love. You've given me your understanding. You've given me also your wife, Ganga, as a result of your having once been married to her. She gave me so much education. You had a lot to do with this. If you hadn't married her, then I wouldn't have any of that. He said, I owe you like anything, and I'm going to give you a gift. He says, it's not necessary. I gift you with all the merits that I have acquired from the various and many sacrifices that I have made. And the merits that I have acquired, when you do sacrifices, like you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you gain spiritual merit. So he had gained a tremendous amount of spiritual merit, material merit, and he could have so many things, pretty much whatever he wanted. And he had the power to be able to give his son Bhishma. Bhishma means, as I said, a terrible vow. He had the power to give his son the power to not be killed unless he wanted to be killed. So he said, my dear son, you can now live forever if you like. I give you this, grant you this blessing that you will just go on living, and you can stop living when you want to. That's pretty. So that's the way he obtained, Bhishma Dev obtained it. So, however, during the Battle of Kurukshetra, it happened to be that Bhishma Dev was on the side of the evildoer, Duryodhana. And the reason for that was that Duryodhana was paying his salary. He was the counselor, the advisor, weapons teacher, all those things and many, many other things. So as a result of receiving a salary and accepting the salary, well, the result is you have an obligation to the person who is nourishing you or nurturing you. So the obligation was that he would fight on the side, of course, of the Kauru, the Kurus, and he himself was a Kuru from way back. Santanu was a Kuru. His father was a Kuru. So therefore, it was his obligation, actually, to fight for the Kurus, even though the Pandavas, they were on the opposite side. And he loved the Pandavas. The Pandavas were his grandchildren. So it was very, very difficult. So to end the story, to give some rounded out, what happened was that Bhishma Dev, he decided that as a result of all the crookedness, the criminality, the lying, the cheating, and all that, he was disgusted with it. He didn't want any more of it. He couldn't stand it. And he decided that the time is now to die. So nobody could shoot him by fair means. So the Pandavas had asked him, we can't kill you. But we want to kill you. We must kill you in order to win this war. What can we do? So Bhishma Dev told him what to do. He said, do you have a warrior named Shikhandim? Shikhandim was born as a female. But through the blessing of a yaksha, he became a male. So when Arjuna comes to fight me, put Shikhandam in front of Arjuna. I will never shoot arrows at a female. It goes against my warrior ethics. So that's what happened. The fight was going on. Arjuna was releasing arrows, and so was Shikhandam. And Bhishma Dev was blocked by Arjuna had a shield of Shikhandam around him, and the result was is that Arjuna got so many arrows into Bhishma Dev's body that he looked like a pincushion, or he looked like a porcupine when it's scared. You ever see a porcupine scared? All those bristles go up. So that's what he looked like, and he fell down. He came off the chariot and fell down, and that's what we have here. So now we have the full story, as best as I could tell it in this short amount of time, of how Arjuna was able to kill Bhishma Dev. It was by Bhishma Dev's will. He agreed to be killed. Otherwise, there was no possibility of that happening. And one of the things that Krishna wanted is that although Krishna and Vyasadeva try to convince Bhishma Dev that he was not responsible for this war, that it was being done actually by the will of Krishna, and but he wouldn't believe it. So what Krishna decided is that Bhishma Dev would then confer with Yudhisthira and explain even further for hours and hours as to why he was not responsible, number one. And number two, he would explain to Yudhisthira all the various principles of managing or running or operating a government. And the Pandavas would hear that, and so many other soldiers would hear that. And that is the story of how Bhishma Dev... Now, why is he not dying now? He's got enough arrows in him. He's waiting for the sun to turn to the north, which is considered auspicious for warriors to die under, when the sun starts moving in the opposite direction. And when that happens, then it's considered auspicious, and then warriors choose to die then. So he's waiting for that. And during that waiting period, what is happening is that this discourse is going on between Bhishma Dev and Yudhisthira, who's telling him and explaining to him so many wonderful secrets, ideas, thoughts, and about managing the future government. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Bhagavatam ki.